You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
No, absolutely not. But I would have taken a different approach. I believe they're right. The Taliban wants us out of there as quickly as we can get out of there. So, listen, they have earned an unbelievable victory that we handed to them. Let's face it, it's being broadcast around the world that the United States has indeed surrendered to the Taliban, and they'll become the premier radical Islamist organization in the world. But the approach is, in my judgment, yeah. They want us out of there, so let's put a finger in their chest. Should have told them, we're going to stay as long as it takes to get our people out, and we're going to bring in the forces that are necessary to secure this evacuation as it's taken place, and we are going to be in charge of it.
That is General Keane talking about trusting the Taliban and how things should have gone. A lot of that discussion this past weekend. My name's Crane Durham. This is Larry Connors, USA, and I am guest hosting for my friend. Fear not, he will be back in the seat tomorrow. So, a lot going on, understatement. We're getting up to speed on just the debacle, which continues in the way of Afghanistan and the evacuation, or the surrender, quite frankly. General Keane weighed in on how it was handled, and so much this weekend. And notice what we're dealing with here. It's interesting to me that there are people who obviously want to get out of Afghanistan, right? Yeah. Okay, I get it. Yeah, Crane, that's not under dispute. Okay, it's not under dispute. I agree with you. But I have a problem. It's not the question of if we want to get out, so to speak. I can address that a little later, and I will, with Andrew C. McCarthy from the National Review Online, the man who literally wrote the book on Islamic terrorism. And he has a different point of view than the Trump administration on the agreement. I digress, only to say, going back to how we got out of the Afghanistan, or are we getting out of Afghanistan? And this was supposed to be the president who came in and said, hey, the adults are in charge. We're going to have a foreign policy that really reflects our appreciation for our NATO allies and allies across the world. Yeah, we haven't seen that. And it's going to be no drama. No drama. Well, we've got a lot of drama, and we've got 13 soldiers dead. And the question goes to, okay, if President Biden's on top of all this, then why on earth are we not changing tactics? Why on earth are we not listening to General Keane? On the flip side, we will hear more from the general on what to do and how to do it. There are a lot of misconceptions, and there's a lot of information on just how we were remaining in Afghanistan during the time of President Trump, and how President Biden moved on President Trump's agreement with the Taliban. He said he had to follow it, right? Well, he didn't follow it. That's the thing. He did not follow it. Did he have to follow the immigration policy of staying in Mexico? Well, Supreme Court says yes, but that's another digression. My point is there's no consistency with this guy. I feel like I'm in the bizarro world. taking crazy pills, because every time I watch President Biden, I go, there's no way this guy could be our president. You're going to hear a sound coming up in the show where he is giving a FEMA address about Hurricane Ida, which we'll cover a little later. And he asked for questions. And you know what? He didn't take them. But the way he said it is going to shock you. Actually, it won't. I mean, I'd like it to shock you, but it's not going to be surprising. And it's a bit scary, quite frankly. So on the flip side, a little more on Afghanistan and General Keane, how he would do things. All right. Crane Durham, guest hosting Larry Connors, USA.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I mean, that's the same announcement we made before the actual horrific attack took place. There's no doubt that ISIS-K has operating cells in Kabul, and certainly they're trying to pull off another attack before we get out of there. Certainly we're taking all the necessary precautions we possibly can, but we are vulnerable, as you have noted, on the show this morning. We have outsourced the security outside the perimeter of the Kabul airport to the Taliban. They're running the security checkpoints.
Four-star general, retired Jack Keane, and he was on Fox this morning. Interesting. It's the same intelligence we got regarding the attack. It was specific intelligence. He was responding to another report of that intelligence this past weekend, where our soldiers obviously are in harm's way in dealing with a terrorist organization known as the Taliban. For those of you who may have turned your attention to other things and not the war against radical Islamic terrorism and terrorists, we have a lot of myths. Really, Crane? Yes, we do. But before I get to those, Crane Durham sitting in for my friend Larry Connors, guest hosting. Fear not. Some of you are looking at your radio. Do you do that? I do. I look at my radio. Or you have it on a podcast, however you do it. But he will be back, and it's an honor and privilege and a blessing to be here. So there are a lot of misconceptions when it comes to our enemies. There's a schism between, obviously, the Shiite and the Sunnis. And if we look at that, we look at the Persian, we look at Iran, and we see that there has almost been, well, there's been a war between Iraq and Iran, obviously. I remember Reagan said, or he's quoted as saying, can't they both lose, back in the 80s. And there's this idea or line of thinking that they won't work together. And no matter how many times we discover funding coming from, say, one part to the other, in the way of 40% of Hamas's funding, which is Sunni, Hamas, coming from Iran, which is Shia. And so you have these ideas that they won't work together on a common enemy. And it really is shown to be simply not true. It's not true. And we have to understand that there's a common glue. General Keane made that point on Al-Qaeda working with ISIS and the common glue.
Listen, the Taliban, the Al-Qaeda, the ISIS-K, they all have the same radical Islamic fundamentalist beliefs. They all believe in killing Americans. And while they may fight among each other, as ISIS-K and ISIS does at times, I believe that common theology wraps them in a sort of special glue when it comes to anti-Americanism, anti-West, and anti-democracy.
Right.
So could they have been complicit? You betcha they could have been complicit.
Yes, they could have been complicit. No doubt about it. The Taliban. And looking at ISIS and trying to break them down to ISIS-K and ISIS here. Read Tom Joslin at the Long War Journal. He really just shines a light on all this bunny stew. That's BS. See? My daughter came up with that about 10 years ago. Pretty awesome. But it doesn't change what it is. Not true. And so what do? We recognize the differences. We recognize that they could work against each other and have, but they also work toward a common goal, which is, hey, the little Satan. No, that's Israel. Israel's the little Satan. And I mean, just how backward is that? Utterly asinine. I can't get that out of my head. The idea Israel's the little Satan and we're the big Satan. Because we believe in liberty and justice for all. We have freedom of religion. And we let women go to school. And we don't behead people for apostasy. There's so much. We're not Islamists. There it is. So we have to trust our president is going to take us and he's going to deliver on the mission. We already have 13 soldiers dead. So has he changed anything when it comes to working with the Taliban? And General Keane asked something. I've never served in the military, so I don't listen. I talked to the experts, but that I'm not going to go punch above my weight there. I will say this. I am confused of why we ever would trust the Taliban at the checkpoints and have them run the checkpoints. General Keane wondered the same thing.
And when they were running those checkpoints, we either should have been at those checkpoints with them or we should have owned the checkpoint ourselves and told them to get out of the way or suffer the consequences. We had every right to secure our people in a fashion that we know how to do this. You don't think the CG or the 82nd, who's responsible for security at the Kabul airport, knows that he needs a security zone in front of that barricade called the three or four gates that are there?
Right.
The guy's got 17 combat deployments. He's been in Delta and in Rangers for years. Of course they know what needs to be done. The fact is they're hamstrung by these policies that are restricting them from doing what should be done tactically and operationally. It makes no sense to me.
It makes no sense to me, General. Thank you for elucidating that point. I can't understand why you would fight the war the way President Obama fought the war, and now President Biden is surrendering. I don't get it. What did we get with President Obama? ISIS porn. You have the beheadings, the fires, and all that. But do you think there's going to be any difference when it comes to President Biden? No, it's just going to get worse. That's what we're seeing. He's surrendering. He's farming out our security to a terrorist group. And what undergirds our efforts with the Afghan army, military, was the fact of our air power. He pulled it. So how do you do that? And say, hey, I have a good way that we're not only going to evacuate safely. And why didn't they go with the people first? No. We're going to be safe in the homeland. For 20 years, we have not had Afghanistan be the breeding ground for a new attack on the United States in the sense of an outside attack. That's 20 years. People ask, what was this all for? Hey, it was for our security and the sacrifices our soldiers made, protected lives and saved lives. So if that's the case and we're going to surrender now and let the Taliban rule, do you think we're going to come up with something different? We're going to get, oh, Taliban, they're moderating. Well, you have to trust them. Do you trust them? They have allegiance with Al-Qaeda, leaders within. Tom Joslin documents it over the Long War Journal. Do you really think that they're not going to come together with the common glue, special glue, to go after us? And do you think we'll be able to have the kind of reach we had when and before Bagram was open? All of these things were recommended. There's even there. I have some news for you later on in the program that there's even more information coming out about how Biden surrendered our security. And it is mind-blowing because it's not something like a television show where it's, oh, the show writer made a mistake and I've invested a lot of time in this, or something like that. No. This is national security. These are the lives of our soldiers. This is the security of the United States. And so the idea that somehow you're going to, oh, we don't have to think about this. No, Commander-in-Chief's number one job is to think about this. So it doesn't go away. This is serious. This is real. And it's quite frankly disgusting. The ray of hope I have always is our soldiers, our military. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. And being hamstrung, exactly what they were under President Obama. That's why President Trump removed ISIS. Properly said, the U.S. military did. Obama created ISIS. Oh, yes, we pulled out of Iraq. So we're doing the same thing. This is surrender to Biden Boogaloo. This is bad stuff. And it's not going away. Oh, well, now that we're out, everything's going to be okay. And how many are out? Reports are that 250 Americans are still in Afghanistan and wanting to get out. That number has fluctuated in reports over the weekend. And the other point is by 3 p.m. on the 31st, so we're looking at tomorrow, it's officially ending our evacuation. So what are we going to do? Are we going to see a different plan put in place? Well, we've had attacks and we still attacked. Yeah, we had attacks. We still attacked because we still had capability. I just don't know why you'd surrender Bagram Air Force Base and then go on to criticize the Afghans who have been fighting in the military. Okay, don't get me wrong. Yes, some cut and run, obviously. A lot cut and run. But some are still fighting, even. And the only thing that made them effective was the U.S. air support. You take that out, you leave it in the middle of the night, see ya. Now we have this bloodthirsty regime coming in, back in. And, oh, you don't get a slap on the wrist. No, you actually lose your wrist. You lose your head. You see your family butchered. That's what these people represent. So I'm at a loss when I hear our president talk about these things or not talk about them. And I know that there are opportunities to somehow correct this. We'll talk more about those with Andrew C. McCarthy. Little note, though, for those who wanted to get out, at the end, I believe we had 2,500 troops, no attacks, and no loss of life in the last year. Thank God, until, obviously, the tragedy of Biden. So, was it worth 5% of our military budget to continue what we had? We have troops all across the country. Crane Durham, Larry Connors, USA. I'm guest hosting. We'll be back.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors, USA.
Train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back to Larry Connors, USA. Crane Durham, guest hosting. It's great to be here for my friend Larry Connors, who will be back tomorrow, fear not. And he will be delivering all the news up to date as it is has been throughout his program. We're shifting gears, but not really. Have you ever heard of Bill Maher? Well, Crane, yes. Everybody knows who Bill Maher is. Okay. Yeah, he had Politically Incorrect and then Real Time, I guess, Real Time with Bill Maher, his latest show. And on Friday's edition of the show on HBO, Bill Maher made sense. Now, I think I actually interviewed him years ago. I actually don't think I did interview him. And it was polite. It was great. And I have some respect for the man because he brings on people that disagree with him. And that is something we need, especially being a leftist. But he does make sense sometimes when he's talking to the woke crew. And so I think he enhances his credibility when he does that. What I like about this program is Larry says, hey, I'm conservative, but I'm fair. And if you ever have seen Larry over the years, you know that is true, that he is fair. And so in response to Afghanistan and what's going on there, Bill said, and this is Bill Maher makes a great point. Understand this needs to be bleeped. So this is something that we have. Bill Maher makes a great point.
And finally, new rule, blind hatred of America. is just as blinkered as blind love. And we Americans should really get some perspective about where we live. Watching the shit go down in Afghanistan, I was reminded lately of every conversation I've ever had with an immigrant, almost all of which, if we got to really talking, included the notion, oh, you people have no idea. All you do is bitch about and badmouth your own country, but if you knew about the country I came from, you'd stop shitting on your own.
A good point. Bill Maher delivers some perspective here. He will detail this in the way of what we have and what we don't have. And we'll get to that on the flip side. Right now, what we're going to do is think about what we have been talking about before Afghanistan. We have a cancel culture. We have a culture that it's oppressive or some kind of vote suppression effort to have people use their IDs to vote so we can verify the vote. Really? You hate transgender people if you believe that sex is binary, man and a woman. And there's oppression there. So if we are having these discussions and people are invoking historically some awful times, including the likes of the Jim Crow South and other instances in history, and bringing and invoking them, they don't add up. But everything gets real clear when we talk about real oppression. When we talk about the slaughter of innocents, everything gets very clear. Because what we were just talking about with hyperbolic statements, you find is actually really juvenile and insidious to the discussion. Corrine Durham, sitting in for Larry Connors, Larry Connors USA.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Have you ever heard of honor killings, public beheadings, throwing gay men off of roofs, arranged marriages to minors, state-sanctioned wife-beating, female genital mutilation, marriage by capture? Because we have. What's the lesson of Afghanistan? Maybe it's that everyone from the giant dorm room session that is the internet should take a good look at what real oppression looks like. Ask your maid. Ask your Uber driver. Ask the Asian woman giving you a massage. She'll tell you this place is Shangri-La, and not just because she works in a place called Shangri-La. America may not be the country of your faculty lounge and Twitter dreams, but no one here tries to escape by hanging on to an airplane. No. We wait till we're inside the plane to fight. And then only because they cut off the beverage service.
So that is Bill Maher, and he's making a good point, and it seems so logical, but we don't get a lot of logical coming out these days. And that's why I speak to the upset that we've had with the exaggerations. Because when you exaggerate about injustice or a particular economic situation or a physical condition, when you exaggerate, when something really is racist or an element of injustice, you've cheapened it. You've made it less likely for people to believe because you've used hyperbole to make a point. And now we sit and we go, "What? You know, what's?" I read a book years ago. What was it? What's So Great About America? Dinesh D'Souza. It was fantastic. And it's something to consider that our institutions and our declaration and, more than that, the codification of our ambitions in the declaration. It took a while to live up to those. So we can't even have context, according to some people, which is absurd when we talk about our freedoms to become a more perfect union. Yes? So the discrediting of people claiming things that are not true is a part of something, digesting something that is true and is truly horrific. And that is what we're dealing with in Afghanistan today. And the same can be said if you look at this and you have kind of a clarity session, you get clear. It's interesting because, wow, you get clear and it makes, it elucidates the entire picture. And you say, okay, wait a second, what else is not true? Well, look at the economic situation and plans. One for the left, the other for conservatives. Which one do you embrace and which one actually works? Well, one factors in human nature and respects individual liberty. The other empowers a government to make those decisions economically or providing for services in that government. That means they get to choose who gets it and who doesn't. I don't think our founders ever really thought that was, not really. But we read into that. We read into the Constitution that way, and that's good. And I want people to be okay. I want people to have health care. I want people to be able to make a living and have a good job and with a livable wage. But tell me this, when you regulate it and put it out there, you're doing the exact opposite. And just because you want something, just because you don't want the government to do it, doesn't mean you don't want the outcome. You begin with the end in mind. That's what you do. And so, in that, we must consider exactly why we are in the place we are in with President Biden. And on the flip side, I will be talking to Andrew C. McCarthy about that. But how did we get here? And did they ask the questions? Did they begin with the end in mind? You see, what you're going to get is emotion and what their idea of fairness is. And that is, quite frankly, fearful of that happening in the way of the evacuation. You see, they had all the information. They could have begun with the end of mind. They didn't do it. Okay. And Andrew C. McCarthy will be joining us momentarily. Okay, and so I'm looking at what we have. Okay. Now, pardon me, just looking at something here, and Andrew C. McCarthy will be with us in the next segment. I am sorry for the delay on that. So he could have begun with the end in mind when it comes to Afghanistan. And unfortunately, he did not do that. And so we are in the situation that we are in. But he was told about Bagram and keeping it open. He was, I mean, he had access to all this information, and what did he do with it? Well, he didn't use it. He didn't apply it because he said we have to get out. And when you talk to him, what does he say? Oh, this is about getting out. Everybody wants to get out. We can agree. And again, we go back to the House. So can you have an intellectually honest conversation with the man about this? I don't believe you can. But of course, it was Trump's fault, right? It was Trump's fault. Yet Trump, during his time, said it was conditions based. Now you go inside that agreement and you have got a problem there. Because some of the things that Mike Pompeo is saying to defend the president, President Trump, are not within that agreement. But they seemingly were understood, absolutely. They were understood. And doing this in the way that it was done, quite frankly, an absolute disaster, with different numbers coming out, not knowing how many are there. The military has done an extraordinary job since July, bringing 122,000 people out of Afghanistan. That's extraordinary. Nobody is talking about the military. They're talking about the planning, the beginning with the end in mind. Can we finish? How does this end? Well, it doesn't end because we're still at war. It's very confusing to me how we are looking at the question and where do we go from here? Because it's not going away. Much like some of the problems President Biden has given us, these are not going away. And by the way, coming down the pike, you're seeing a $3.5 trillion spending spree that's going to hurt long term, big time. We're seeing inflation going up and continuing to undermine what was a very strong economy and what is a very strong economy, quite frankly. But why is it strong? It's because the policies in place currently are from President Trump. And Biden's taking credit for it. It's very odd. So we should ask ourselves what actually works in the sense of the economy. Let's go back to President Obama and a debate he had with Hillary Clinton in 2008. He was told by Charles Gibson, this is a good point, but these are the highlights that you never forget. He was told by Charles Gibson, who was moderating the debate, hey, you lowered a tax, you got more revenue. Why on earth would you raise it again? And he said, for purposes of fairness, that's a man who does not believe in freedom. That's a man who may believe in what he calls America, but he doesn't believe in Americans. And trust me on this, when we see these economic policies and the absurdity of the rule of law being upheld and containing the power with checks and balances as it is in the Constitution, and we have that, say, the moratorium on evictions, which was upheld, thank heavens, but they didn't talk about how the government didn't have a right to do this, specifically the president and through the executive agency. More on that a little later. And we're going to hear about a teacher that is kind of nuts. Well, I'm not diagnosing. Crane Durham, Larry Connors, USA.
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Andrew C. McCarthy is our guest on the Larry Connors, USA program. My name's Crane Durham, and I'm guest hosting. And Andy, great to be with you. Thank you for taking the time. First and foremost, as you've written about, tell me, who are we at war with, and have we actually ever had a plan to win that war?
Well, Crane, great to be with you. It's been difficult to follow exactly who the enemy in the war is. I think common sense tells us that it's the radical Islamic network of organizations that attacked us, plus their state sponsors. And none of them was more important than the Taliban regime. But you bring up a great point, because they keep talking about endless wars and ending the endless war. If you're not in a war anymore, you can't do a lot of the things that we've been doing for the last 20 years, including, you know, attacking the enemy, detaining them without trial, interrogating them without lawyers, and so forth. So we really are back to a sort of pre-9/11 footprint of counterterrorism, that model of law enforcement-based counterterrorism.
And so that open-ended authorization of military force, in the sense of what it targeted and what it gave in the sense of powers, is too broad in your opinion, yes?
Well, it's too broad and too narrow in weird ways. You know, it's mm-hmm. too broad in the sense that it really never identified an enemy. And for that reason, it lent itself to a lot of mission creep and the like. But at the same time, we never really committed to a war footing based on it. And again, I think a lot of the people who've talked about endless wars and ending them have not thought through the implications of that, including for counterterrorism purposes, being able to strike terrorists with military force. That's going to be, you know, it's going to be an interesting question going forward.
Yes, it is. And going forward in the lay of the land and how we fight this, obviously, we've weakened our stance in so many ways. So it goes to how President Biden handled this. Now, there's been some discussion, and I know you in particular have pointed out to say, wait a second, President Trump had this agreement, and some of the things that he said, Mike Pompeo recently said, his former Secretary of State, the former Secretary of State said, he went and said those things were not in the agreement. So there seems to be blame shifting going around here. And could you clear it up for us? Who is this on?
Well, yeah, I think Trump made a terrible agreement, and it really did undermine and undercut the people we were fighting with for 20 years, which was the Afghan military forces and the Afghan government that we had been trying to prop up, which was a difficult thing to do given how thoroughgoingly corrupt it was. So you could understand the Trump administration's lack of patience with it. But at the same time, you know, those were our allies, and then said we cut them out and made a deal with the Taliban, which kind of signaled to everyone that we were, that the fall of the regime was inevitable. All that said, Biden was not bound by that agreement, and his suggestion that he was is just ridiculous. It's obviously ridiculous given that, number one, he changed the terms of the agreement. Under the agreement, we would have been out by May 1st. So he clearly didn't think he was bound by it. But just looking at his presidency, there's not a single thing that Trump did that this guy has felt himself bound by. So this is on, you know, he's the commander in chief who made the decision to pull out with no backup strategy and no practical counterterrorism strategy to protect the country. So that's on him.
Okay, final question in under 2 minutes. We had the moratorium decision from the Supreme Court, but you have pointed out that something's wrong with that decision, with the majority opinion and the dissent regarding the ability for the government and specifically the executive branch to do what they did.
Well, they clearly didn't have the authority. I was pleased to see, Crane, that it was that the Supreme Court rushed the case. You know, I was worried that they wouldn't get to it because, you know, their term really doesn't start until October. But to their credit, they got the case decided and told the federal government that they were beyond their statutory authority. It's a shame that the case was not 9-0 rather than 6-3, because it was really cynical what the government did here. The Biden administration tried to use the process of the Supreme Court to extend something it knew it was illegal, and I would have liked to have seen the court slap that down harder.
Andrew C. McCarthy, senior fellow at the National Review Institute, the man who literally wrote the book on Islamic terrorism and gave us the phrase willful blindness in your book. Thank you, my friend. Great to be with you.
Thank you, Crane.
All right, take
Thank
care. You. Larry Connors, USA, Crane Durham, guest hosting.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.